Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joins us now. And Doug had a chance to watch the third day of OTAs today, which were open to the media. What were some of your biggest takeaways?
Well, I think the team looks like it's in pretty good shape as far as conditioning. You look at the bodies out there, and there's no people waddling around. I mean, they're moving quickly. Obviously, the team has picked up some speed, too. You know, you obviously, when you pick up a Mingo in the draft, that's going to give you some speed there. But, you know, at other positions, the other part, I think the wide receivers, not only, you know, today, but in rookie camp, they all seem to catch the ball pretty good.
Yeah, especially Devon Bess. I mean, he's been kind of the star of the show, I think, for the whole week. And he didn't disappoint today. He's a guy who's consistently getting open and catching everything that's thrown to him. That's what I kept hearing from other media people on the sideline. They just shook their head and they said, this guy catches everything.
Well, I think part of it is, you know, the experience factor coming in, knowing what he's doing, although it's a new offense for him. But, you know, you've been in the NFL and you've got a better read on it than, you know, like last year we basically had two rookies. Little had a year under his belt, but the fact that he didn't play the year before, and Josh Gordon, you know, coming in really with nothing. You know, I think, you know, the rookie growing pains kind of showed last year. But and then you take in a veteran that's caught, 64 passes a year over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, you've got somebody that's got the experience and the confidence to get it done.
And I think, too, a big key, Doug, is having someone like Bess, who's a veteran presence for the sake of these rookies, in that room to hear the perspective of a guy who knows things. And this has been kind of a clamoring point for the last couple of years. They got to get a veteran guy to help work with these guys. And I've maintained that certainly that's a good thing, except that the guy's got to play. He just can't be. You've got coaches who will lead and coach, but this guy contributes and also is a good presence in the locker room and in the meeting room.
And, you know, that's a rare thing to find sometimes in the NFL is a wide receiver that's not a diva, because, you know, these guys are – they're strange birds. And, you know, all of a sudden you get somebody in there and, you know, he's supposed to be teaching the young guys. Well, you want them teaching them the right things. And you got to have a guy with some maturity that, you know, sometimes, you know, a rough pass will straighten you out and, you know, have you, you know, looking at life the right way. And I think, you know, with his past, you know, he's had some tough times, but I think, you know, he's shown that, you know, he's got himself in shape, and he's, you know, not only as a player, but as a person.
Josh Gordon, of course, has come into this thing and a lot of commentary about how he looks physically. We've talked about it on this show, just that what he seems to have gained in muscle weight, how much just tighter his body looks compared to what he was a year ago when he was just completely out of shape and 18 months out of football before he joined the Browns in that supplemental draft last July. Looks like a different guy. Also looks to me like he's faster.
Well, I don't know if he's faster, but he sure does look look like he's put together a little bit differently than last year. And you got to think, you know, he's finally been on a training program and they've got him working. And he's a real quiet kid. He doesn't say a lot. But, you know, he's not afraid to go work, and he's got this, you know, those hands that really, I think, are probably as good as you got on the team.
Yeah, because you could see that today, the consistency that he showed in catching the ball. But, I think overall, we throw Bess into this conversation, Greg Little, the speed that this team has, and I could see this and sense it among the coaching staff, that there's a lot of speed within the group. North Turner was talking with me just prior to practice. He says, we got a little track meet going on out here.
Well, if you're going to play a vertical game, it helps to have speed, and it matches up very well with them. And not only do you have speed, but you also got size. When you look at Gordon and Little, you know, they're big receivers.
Now, none of this is going to work on offense in the passing game unless the offensive line does its part. And there's a lot of interesting stories there. Let's start with the guard situation. Had a chance to talk with, and I know you did afterward, Jason Pinkston, about his status coming back from that blood clot. He's been working out extensively these last couple of weeks. Today was the first chance for him for practice to get out there. John Greco is still the guy working in the number one spot at left guard, but it looks to me like this team absolutely wants to see Pinkston get back to his spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got a guy that, you know, came in, started, wasn't even supposed to really be a starter, but he got forced into the lineup and did a good job. Then, you know, all of a sudden he gets hit with the infection. And now, you know, you're sitting there and you're saying, well, when's he going to come back? But, you know, Greco did a good job in the times that he filled in. And then you got Laval on the other side who, you know, hopefully in his third or fourth year here is going to, you know, maybe mature as a ball player and, take some of the penalties out of his game.
And for Pinkston, a very scary experience. He was recalling it today during that Cincinnati game where he was on the sidelines quite a bit. He was vomiting. He was talking about, they didn't know what his problem was. They thought it was just a severe case of the flu initially until they figured out what it was. And he was frightened, as you would imagine. And then I think he wondered, I know he said he wondered about whether he was actually going to ever play football again.
You know, that's got to be probably the scariest thing in the world. You know, everybody wants to be a pro football player, but then to have something like that, hit you. And, it's not just robbing your career. It could be robbing your life. And, I think you mature in a quick way when something like that faces you.
Mitchell Schwartz at that tackle spot on the right side, Doug. We were talking about him as we were watching practice today. Here's a guy who did kind of a remarkable thing, holding up as a starter throughout his rookie year, facing some tough opponents throughout his rookie year, and he comes back for year two. And I think the real challenge for him now is in this offense, he's going to be asked to pass protect a whole lot more, hold those blocks a whole lot more, because this is a longer developing vertical passing game.
Yeah, and that's a tough part of it. But the thing is, I think, if you look at last year, one of the strengths of his game was the fact that he held up pretty good in pass protection. He held up very well, in fact, in pass protection. Because not many games you walked away, or I don't think any games you walked away and said, boy, Schwartz had a tough game. He met the match every week. And I think, with a year's experience under his belt, knowing what he's got to do, and I think that, probably like most college guys, the first thing you find out is you probably got to get a little stronger because, all these guys are big and strong. And then, with that, you can't lose any of your agility or foot speed. And, you get these, teams now that have specialized rushers are going to put you on an island out there. And, you've got to be able to play in space. So, you want to get stronger, but in doing so, you don't want to risk, losing any of your agility.
Doug Deacon for the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, as we talk about the tempo of this offense, and that's been another subject of conversation where Rob Chudzinski and North Turner have been urging this team to move it along faster at a faster pace offensively. And you saw that there today, and you heard the urging of the coaches to keep that going at a faster pace, which again starts with the quarterbacks, starts with Brandon Whedon, who continued to work for his third straight day as the starting quarterback. But Jason Campbell, same thing. Thaddeus Lewis for the times he got in there. What are your thoughts on what a more urgent pace can mean to this offense?
Well, it can keep the defense from doing a lot of substituting because you're not going to have the ability to run people in and out if you're back up at the line of scrimmage. But it also, I think, it for the offensive side, you've got so many young players, they're going to have to think in a short period of time. And then when you get into the games and you've experienced this pace, then, I think it's going to make you a better ball player because, once you really comprehend what you're trying to do in your responsibilities, you can play faster.
And for everybody, I mean, it's a big thing for the quarterback to orchestrate and handle well. And I get a sense that there's still some transitioning for that. I mean, you saw some moments today where both Whedon and Campbell had their, had passes they'd want to have back and maybe weren't as accurate as they needed to be. But I think that's also, too, a function of getting used to who you're working with, number one, and number two, just this whole idea of a whole different offense, of thinking about different things that you're dealing with.
Well, and what you see today and what you see in training camp, in July is going to be two different products, hopefully.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden they've been in the system for, two or three months and they've got a better grasp of it. When you got to make a read as a quarterback and, all of a sudden you know where the ball is supposed to go, you don't hang on to it too long and you get it out quicker. And I think, there was some rough spots, but, you got a new offense, you got young kids, but you got a lot of talent. And if you can, just blend it, and I think, what Chud and Norv Turner are going to do is, take advantage of the skills that they have and match it to the offense that they want to run.
And the reality of this offense, the reality of this team, is it is going to succeed or not based on the passing game. Because for all the talk that they've got this very talented guy named Trent Richardson in the backfield, and for those who say, well, you got to just lean on him more and let him carry the load and be the dominant player, basically carry the offense the way an Adrian Peterson does in Minnesota. That's not happening here. That's not what North Turner's approach is all about. The quarterback will carry the brunt of the offensive load.
Well, and I think if you look at the offensive line, it's not built to play, ground chuck. It's built to be one that can put the ball in the air, 40 times a game and, stretch the field. And then you're going to hand it off to Richardson and, people aren't going to be crowding the box because, they're going to be trying to protect the deep side. And you're going to get some extra yards in your rushing game. And it should help Trent Richardson immensely.
Tight end position, very interesting. Watching Jordan Cameron this whole week and then out there today, made a couple of very nice catches today. Looks like he's gotten bigger, definitely looks like he's gotten stronger, but he still seems to maintain that speed and athleticism. The door is wide open for this guy to take that position. I know they bring in Gary Barnage. I know they have Kellen Davis, both of those guys in free agency. Dan Gronkowski is carried over from before. But really, this is Cameron's spot right now, and then the question is who else is going to be there with him?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, you'd like to have maybe another, experienced tight end with some, a little more years on him. But, you mentioned the upside, and that's one of the things that, just the athletic ability. You take the tight end down in New Orleans. You take Gates
Jimmy
out
Graham.
In San Diego,
yeah.
Jimmy Graham and Gates. I mean, these are basketball players that it took them a few years to convert into being football players. And, if you're patient enough, it'll pay off for you in the long run. And I think, they have an opportunity to see it pay off here.
What do you need to see from him, though, from Cameron? Is it just more consistency, Doug? What are the things you're looking for? Because I know you were watching him a lot today.
Well, I think the thing is, I think you got to have somebody that understands just a little more nasty than basketball. I mean, you if somebody's going to hit you in the face, you got to hit them back. I mean, yeah. And I'm not saying, to get a penalty or anything, but
right.
I'm just saying, it's a physical game besides the finesse part of, throwing the football. And you've got to have, both things, in your arsenal. And I think that's just something that, you get hit in the mouth and you learn how you're going to react.
Defensively, some conversation about the secondary. Notable the fact that Leon McFadden, the Browns' third-round pick, not here. He's back finishing up school at San Diego State. The rules of the NFL are until you're done, then you can't partake in these off-season workouts. So he'll get here eventually. So it'd be interesting to see when he's out there how that secondary is going to look.
Yeah, I think that, and we've talked about it before, but talking to Brian Sipe, Brian loved the kid. He thought he just, he might not have the great foot speed, the blazing speed, but as far as a technician and quick feet and, being able to jump cuts, he had great anticipation. And Brian was very high on him, not only as a football player, but also as a person.
Yeah, I like the way he looked at rookie minicamp as well. The safety position, now that they've taken Johnson Batamosi, who had been a corner, mostly a contributor on special teams last year, but corner was his spot, have him working at safety where physically he just seems more natural there.
Yeah, I think like everybody, you want to, be in the limelight position, and cornerback is a little bit more of a limelight position. But, sometimes you got to sit there and say, what's going to keep me in the league for 1 year and what's going to keep me in the league for 10 years? And, just watching him on special teams last year, he's not afraid to hit, and he has the size. So he's got a it's kind of like Jordan Cameron to some extent, because I think he was a soccer player,
right.
And now all of a sudden, you take some of that footwork you learned in soccer, and you're covering the middle half of the field or half the field. I think he's in the end run is probably going to be a pretty good safety.
Intelligent, instinctive guy. Those are the things you want at that position. And then Tashawn Gibson making his case to be a starter there as well. And we loved what we saw of him last year, right, as an undrafted free agent.
Well, obviously with Osama Young there, they had a lot of opportunity because he was always hurt in the training camp.
It's true.
So, and that's one of the good things. Somebody gets hurt, that gives somebody else an opportunity. And, they always say, opportunity is nothing without preparation. They had a year to prepare last year.
No, and I think another thing I'm liking, Doug, is an open-mindedness of this regime, of the folks making the decisions for this team now, to not just discard. I know you can't discard everything that was here before you. You can't possibly do that. Salary cap and everything, contract structure doesn't allow you to do that. But there seems to be an open-mindedness to those sort of fringe guys, if you will, giving them the opportunity to still show what they can do rather than completely blowing it all up and making changes.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you look at the team, it's not a team that was 11-5. It was, the opposite.
Right.
So, you need to upgrade your personnel across the board in a lot of positions. And if you can find one or two of those guys, free agents, late draft picks, we were talking earlier about the Gyokki kid. I mean,
yeah.
here's an offensive lineman taken in, the sixth round. But he's got the knee bend. He's got the size. He's got the footwork. He went to a small school. He could be one of your sleepers. We talked about the Roberson kid, the wide receiver out of Stephen F. Austin.
Right.
The thing in rookie training camp there, or rookie camp they had, they didn't see a lot of balls. And this guy, he kind of reminds you a little bit of Gordon. He's got that little extra acceleration because he's a big, long strider.
And snatches the ball out of the air. I like that, too. Not a body catcher. And you brought up Gyokki as well. Another guy that you could keep an eye on for that depth, at least, perhaps, on the interior lineman. They've had him working at guard, so it looks like a position that he could handle. And he's big enough to be a tackle, too.
Yeah, and as we – he looks – when you stand next to him, he's taller than he looks when you see him from afar. But, everybody else is proportioned out
right,
there.
Right,
there
right.
are no midgets. But, he's got a nice foundation to him. He's a sharp kid, and you always want to develop your backup lineman, and that's if you can get a guy in the sixth round, and be it the practice squad for a year, or be it just a backup, then all of a sudden he starts to come on because he's playing at a different to go from what Division III to the NFL, that is a major step, and a lot of guys struggle with it, but I think he doesn't look like the game's too big for him.
Doug, great, and we appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.